ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा बनचारी यमुना तीरा बनचारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा बनचारी यमुना तीरा बनचारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jaya Gauranita, 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 Jaya Gauranita. Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Jagannatha, Baladeva Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Radha Ballabha, Radha Ballabha Shri Radhe. Jaya जय राधा वल्लभ राधा वल्लभ श्री राधे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिराजाचार्य स्तोत्रसुत श्री श्रीमद्वै चरणारविंद भक्ति विदान स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय नित्य गौर प्रेमानंद हरि ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबली बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 18 वर्स नंबर 75 आराध्यात्मा परम देवम् आराध्यात्मा परम देवम् स्वात्मानं जगदीश्वरम् स्वात्मानं जगदीश्वरम् को वृणीत गुणस्पर्शम् को वृणीत गुणस्पर्शम् बुद्धस्यानर्केपियत् आराध्यात्मा परम प्रदम देवम् स्वात्मानं जगदीश्वरम् को वृणीत गुणस्पर्शम् बुद्धस्यानर्केपियत् आराध्यात्मा प्रदम देवम् स्वात्मानं जगदीश्वरम् को वृणीत गुणस्पर्शम् बुद्धस्यानर्केपियत् स्वात्मानं जगदीश्वरम् को वृणीत गुणस्पर्शम् बुद्धस्यानर्केपियत् आराध्यात्मा प्रदं देवम् स्वात्मानं जगदीश्वरम् को वृणीत गुणस्पर्शम् buddhasya narake piyat aradhyatma pradam devam svatmanam jagadishwaram govrnita gunasparsham buddhasya narake piyat. What word meaning? Aradhya, after worshipping. Atmapradam, who gives himself. Devam, the Lord. So Atmanam, the most dear. Jagadishwaram, the Lord of the universe. Ka, what? Vrunita, would choose. Gunasparsham, material happiness. Buddhaha, intelligent person. Syat is narke in hell. Api even yat which. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The ultimate goal of all ambitions is to become a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If an intelligent man serves the most dear Lord who gives himself to his devotees, how can he desire material happiness which is available even in hell? You can repeat the translation. The ultimate goal of all ambitions is to become a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If an intelligent man serves the most dear Lord who gives himself to his devotees, how can he desire material happiness which is available even in hell? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. An intelligent man will never aspire to become a devotee to achieve material happiness. That is the test of a devotee. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishwari, bhavatat bhaktir ahetukitvai. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service birth after birth. A pure devotee never begs the Lord for material happiness in the shape of riches, followers, a good wife, or even mukti. The Lord promises, however, yoga kshemam vahamiham, I voluntarily bring everything necessary for my service. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhu bhyayevacha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschat Deshattarine. Hare Krishna. So we are towards the end of this chapter where Diti, the wife of Kashyapa, has practically ill-desired to kill Indra, But her husband Kashyapa, being very intelligent and very advanced as a devotee, he engaged her in Vishnu worship in order to achieve her desired goal, which is to kill Indra. But the result was that she became so purified that not just her, even Indra, who was envious of her child within the womb, who wanted to kill the child, also got transformed. So we see in this chapter an amazing transformation between both the parties. And then they both apologized to each other and they lived happily ever after. I mean, Indra, of course, not, because he will still do many other such activities which will put him in trouble. So that's where we are at the chapter now, in the chapter where Indra himself is glorifying the devotional service. If you see this particular verse, Indra is giving a contrast between what the Lord's mood is and what the mood of us asking benediction is. In the whole Bhagavatam, we see on many, many occasions, Indra appears to be a person who is a big sense enjoyer, a very insecure character, who is constantly worried about losing his position. And there is a negative light thrown on Indradev. And there is a very specific reason for that. Why? Because Indra, who is considered one of the greatest devas, because he is the king of devas, the Supreme Lord puts him in trouble to give us this lesson. Because if Indra can fall, what about us? So Indra, who is such a great personality, when he commits such mistakes, we should not take him as in comparison to demons. You know, many times devotees, they do question. You take a list and you keep writing what all wrong Indra has done. He has tried to kill Vrajavasis. Why? Because they didn't offer him worship at the time of Govardhan Puja. And that's what Hiranyakashipu also was trying to do. He was also trying to kill Brahmanas and he wanted to kill Vishnu. Indra was also trying to kill all the devotees of Vrindavan and kill Krishna also. What is the difference? So the difference is Hiranyakashipu or the other demons are through and through demons. 100%. All the time. Very demoniac, very anti-god. But Indra gets covered sometimes because of too much material opulence surrounding him, and of course the Lord uses him as well. So if we see Mahabharat, Indra in Mahabharat is the hero character. Of course Krishna is Yogeshwar in Mahabharat. But if you see Indra or heavens is the most spoken topic where all the Kshatriyas wants to go. And Indra is seen in too much reverence. There is hardly or practically no criticism of Indra in whole Mahabharata. Because Mahabharata talks about dharma, artha, kama and moksha. And for that, Indra is a very classic example. He's the person to look up to. So in devotional circles, when Mahabharata is discussed, then Krishna gets very much highlighted. Generally, the whole description of Mahabharata, Indra is very highlighted. Of course, Krishna has his place throughout Mahabharata. But we see Bhagavatam, Indra is very much criticized on many occasions. Why? Because Bhagavatam is not interested in dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Bhagavatam is only and only talking about pure devotional service. That's why Indra is criticized a lot. So we should understand this very carefully, that we should not criticize Indra. Because he's a very great person. Even though so many pastimes we see him, you know, just now he has tried to kill Krishna and whole Vrindavan Vasis when Krishna told them to do Govardhan Puja. And just few years later, when Krishna goes to Indraloka and gets flower for his wife, he again attacks Krishna. Just now he has apologized. Just few years before he apologized, then my dear Lord, I'll not do this mistake again. This is unpardonable offense which I did, but you are very kind, you excused me. And just few years later, again, same problem. This is Indra. Very easily covered over.
But still, because he is a great devotee, even though a Mishra Bhakta, a mixed devotee, he should not be criticized beyond the need. And the need is just when pure devotional service is glorified, Indra's actions can be criticized, otherwise no. Otherwise he is a very great person. So we here in this particular verse, Indra is making this contrast. How we approach the Supreme Lord for material benefits, material desires to be fulfilled, and what is the Supreme Lord's approach towards us, that he is ready to give himself. That's exactly the verse today. That if someone is trying to become a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and an intelligent man serves that Lord, who gives himself. The word is, one who gives himself is Atma Pradam. One who gives himself to us, why we are asking for material desires? I told this before also, but this was a very prominent experience that happened with me, which left a very strong impression on me. I visited one devotee's house. I've told this in Bhagavatam, I think, before also, but this is a very, very strong, very literally a life-changing experience. I was visiting a devotee's house, and it's good if you can visualize the scene, because then it'll make a lot of sense. So I was on the first floor. So the husband, his wife, and they had a child, 2 years old, in the hands of the mother. My mother was carrying the child. And we all are standing. I'm leaving the house, and now I have to go down the stairs. So opposite to their flat apartment, there is another devotee who stays. So that Mataji comes, and just, you know, out of joke, because all the kids wants to go out, they don't want to stay home, she just says to the child, "Oh, do you want to come? I'm going out." And immediately the baby jumps out of mother's hands to this Mataji's hands. And it just happened in split second. Because kids, they really want to go out. They don't want to stay home. And this Mataji takes the baby. She goes down the stairs halfway through. And I'm just watching the scene, because we all know it's a joke. She will not just take the baby away. Mother knows it's a joke. The lady who's taking the baby, she knows it's a joke. I know it's a joke. Father knows it's a joke. But then I turned around and I saw mother is crying. And I said, "Why? I can't ask, why are you crying?" But I was surprised, why is she crying? And then this Mataji just comes back, because she has to go somewhere. So she comes back, gives the child back to the mother, and as soon as mother takes the baby, she pats the baby. "Oh, so much rush you had to leave me. So quickly you left me just for going out." And that made her cry, that why my child in a split second left me and went. That made her very emotional. And I just came home, but I was thinking, you know, this is amazing, that everyone knew it's a joke happening. Everyone knew the baby is not going to go. But mother still could not tolerate, even in joke, that the baby left her so quickly. And she started literally in tears. I'm a guest in their house, and in front of me only she could not control. That immediately reminded me, when I was thinking about it later in the day, it reminded me of 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Dhruva's pastime, right? Dhruva Maharaj, who wants to go to the forest because he wants more powers, he wants a kingdom bigger than his great-grandfather Brahma also. His mother tells to Dhruva, "You go and you worship Vishnu, and he will, out of his compassion, grant you the benediction." Why? Because Lord Vishnu has a heart which is not one mother's heart, it is millions of mother's heart combined together is Lord's heart. So when I was trying to connect these two things, I was thinking, now, if Lord's heart is of millions of mother's heart combined together, and this was one mother's heart who could not handle, in joke, the baby leaving, what will be Lord's condition when we have actually left him? Not in joke, in seriousness we have left him. We have left the Lord in all seriousness, and we don't want to look back towards him. Of course, as devotees we are trying. So what emotional, compassionate, that feelings the Supreme Lord must be facing. So this thought was going on in my mind, and then few days later, that family was again in temple, in theater we were sitting, there's some discussion we were doing. So again, husband, wife, child, and I was there in the reception. So mother had to go to make garlands. It was her service time. So it was me, father, and the child. So as soon as mother left the theater, this baby went bonkers. That baby just started shouting, howling, crying, like anything. You just can't. I was just shocked. What happened? His mother is going out, but he could not stop. This baby was shouting to be with the mother. But she had to leave. So father turned him other side, but baby is crying, and mother leaves. Then I had my key bunch with me. So I just started with my key bunch, I started doing just to distract the baby. And baby saw this key bunch, this sound. Baby came towards me, held the key bunch, stopped crying, started playing with the key bunch, forgot mother completely. So these two contrasts, I was just trying to connect that this there here, one place is the Supreme Lord's heart, who is like millions of mothers combined together. How will he be tolerating separation from living entities, us, who have left him completely, actually not interested? And the other side is us, like the baby, who at any given opportunity, given a toy to play of this world, a brand new car, mortgage, house turns into our own, completely we earn the property, we basically own the property now, and then some other allurement, some job, some promotion, and we leave. just for a toy, we leave. So this is the contrast Indra is trying to make here. That one is the Supreme Lord who gives himself, other side is us, who even if we worship the Supreme Lord, we worship him with a list. And the list is Dhanam Dehi, Janam Dehi, followers Dehi, give. And that's why in purport, Srila Prabhupada very specifically mentions that unless we come to the conclusion that I don't want any material desire, I don't want any followers, I don't want good birth, I don't want a beautiful woman or a successful man to enjoy, I just want your devotional service birth after birth after birth, we cannot experience the happiness of pure devotional service. So this is us, and the other side is the Supreme Lord. So, you know, it's amazing contrast actually. In Srila Prabhupada, if you see the purport, especially the last two lines, it gives a very strong hint of Srila Prabhupada's own personal experience, where Srila Prabhupada is writing, a pure devotee never begs the Lord for material happiness in the shape of riches, followers, good wife, or even mukti, because he is explaining the verse. Then Prabhupada says, the Lord promises, however, yogakshemam vahamiham, I voluntarily bring everything necessary for my service. And we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, when time came, brought followers, money, position, properties, everything to Srila Prabhupada for his service. His grace, Burujan Prabhu mentions this point that it hints that Prabhupada is talking about his life here. That when necessary for Krishna's service, everything will come. Yogakshemam Mahamim. Whatever is lacking, Krishna will provide. And a very classic example we see in Srila Prabhupada's life, when time came for Srila Prabhupada, that okay, movement is spreading now, devotees are coming, now I want deity worship to basically happen in ISKCON. We know the London deities pastime, it's amazing how just deities came. There was a temple, Hindu temple there, who wanted to establish Radha Krishna deities. So they ordered very beautiful Radha Krishna deities. But while coming, on the way, one of the fingers of the deity got damaged. Now, according to strict ritualistic principles, you can't establish a deity which is broken, which is damaged anywhere. So Srila Prabhupada came to see, okay, what deities is that? And this person is talking to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is also trying to talk to this person, and he is constantly, while talking, is telling, oh, okay, this will be the cost, okay, this will be the cost, and Prabhupada is constantly, while speaking, neglecting the subject of money in the whole discussion. It's very expertly how he has done it. So So he said, yeah, we'll talk about it. Very beautiful details. Where are you from, this, that? And he kept, Swamiji, but yeah, money this much it'll cost. But yeah, we'll talk about it. And then Prabhupada says to Tamalakrishna Maharaj or some other devotees were there, okay, take the details in the car. And they say, and this person is saying, but Swamiji, about money, how much, you know, would you pay? And Prabhupada says, yeah, we'll talk about it. Yeah, that's okay. And Prabhupada sits in the car. He says, thank you for the details. Thank you for Radha Krishna. And this person says, okay, thank you, Swamiji. And Prabhupada goes. And then he comes and he tells the devotees, when Radha Krishna decided to come to London to accept our worship, it happened. We had no resources because ISKCON was very, very, very small. Hardly any money. When it was time for Srila Prabhupada to teach deity worship to disciples, the deities came. And then he quotes, basically then he says that there are provisions in scriptures where a khandit deity, a damaged deity, is worshipped by acharyas also. And then that's how Radha Londoneshwar were installed and worship began. And one of the most beautiful deities, you know, in ISKCON, worship started. So Krishna will send all the resources. And that's what Srila Prabhupada's realization is, that Yoga Kshema Mahamayam. He's not just protecting the devotees, but he provides all the resources necessary for his service. And this is where a servant's mood is very important. We see in pastime of Lord Ram, Hanumanji, who was practically born with all the siddhis of a perfected yogi, in his childhood, being very naughty, he just tried to swallow the sun, saw a very beautiful, shiny, red-orange ball in the sky, and he thought, wow, that's amazing, let me taste it. So he goes to swallow the sun, but the devas got very scared. Oh my God, what is he doing? He'll really swallow the sun, because they know he is who Hanuman is, very powerful personality. He's the Ansha avatar of Shiva and Vayuputra. So Indra attacks. Indra attacks Hanumanji. And when Indra attacks, then Vayu also comes in defense. And Brahma had to come and solve the situation. And Brahmaji told, okay, this is all, you're very powerful. Because you have been hit by Indra's Vajra, you'll be called Vajrangi. People call Vajrangi, but he's Vajrangi actually. Vajra, because he was hit by Vajra. And like this, he was very naughty. And some sages cursed him, that you will forget all your siddhis, all your powers, because you're very naughty. When required for the service of the Lord, someone will remind you. So when Mother Sita was taken away by Ravan, Lord Ram had sent, with the help of Sugriv, all the troops in all the directions. All the directions the troops were sent. Even in the parts of Indonesia, even now, people call themselves as say that Sugriv was their ancestor. Because Sugriva's team came even to search there also. Those areas also, because all four directions the team was sent. So then, the biggest hint was given by Jatayu was that Sita is gone in southern direction from where they were. So Hanumanji was sent because he was the most competent amongst all, with Jamvant and Angad. That main team was sent towards southern direction because that was a very important hint they got. Now Hanumanji, who had completely forgotten all his shaktis, all his powers, Jamvant had to remind him. Why? Because it was now time for service of the Lord. Now bring those shaktis out. Now it's time to utilize. So same thing, when it was time for necessary for service of the Lord, now all the siddhis, all the shaktis Hanumanji had were again reminded to him. So many people are there. As yogis, one can gain these siddhis, or because it's a past life journey, people can acquire these siddhis from their previous lives also. And Hanumanji did amazing service for Lord Ram because no one else could even figure out where exactly Mother Sita was. And that's the glory of a servant. To that degree that Lord Ram was so pleased by such a servant as Hanumanji, that when Hanumanji came back with this news, Lord Ram just really wanted to give something to Hanuman. But what can he give? He is in the forest, he himself is like a mendicant. And he told Hanuman, I cannot give you anything, but I'll hug you. I'll give you my embrace. And for Hanumanji, that was sufficient. More than enough. Very happy, very satisfied. So basically, Lord Ram gave himself to Hanuman. And when Lord Ram and Hanuman, everyone went back to Ayodhya after winning the battle, killing Ravana and his team, Lord Ram publicly wanted to glorify Hanuman in front of Ayodhyavasis also. Because everyone just saw him as a monkey who is hanging around with Lord Ram as the whole team is there. But Hanumanji had a very special place because of his servitude. He had become one of the most special servants amongst all servants, including Bharat, Lakshman and all who were trying to serve the Lord. So I think Vibhishan or a rich merchant gave a very expensive mala made of a very expensive jewels to Lord Ram. And in front of everyone, Lord Ram accepted it and gave it to Hanuman. Okay, you wear it. The person who gave didn't mind because Lord accepted it and whatever Lord wants to do, he can do. But as soon as Hanumanji got it, he started chewing on the mala, on the jewel. Individually, and he broke the jewel with his teeth, threw them. Next jewel, threw. So the person who gave this gift got very impatient, and he said, "Hey monkey, do you know the value of this gift? What are you doing? Just chewing, breaking it, and throwing. Chewing, breaking it, and throwing." He said, Hanuman said, "What is the value of this? There is no Sitaram inside. Huh? What is the value of this jewel? When I break it and see, there is no Sitaram. So I throw it. Useless." So this person got so offended. He said, "Oh, you're throwing these jewels away because there is no Sitaram. Then you must throw yourself also, because can you prove you have Sitaram inside?" And Hanumanji was so confident. He said, "Yes, I have Sitaram inside. What is the problem?" Then this person challenged, "Okay, show." That means, literally he's saying, "Hanuman, you die. Because you have to open yourself up to show Sitaram inside." And for Lord Hanuman, it was as if a play. He just dropped everything, took his jewelry, whatever he was wearing out, and he just started tearing his chest open with his nails. And he practically opened his chest completely. Blood is coming out. And then everyone saw Sitaram inside. So this is the glorification Lord was doing for Hanuman. This is the glorification Supreme Lord does to his devotees also. Which devotees? Who have also given completely their independence in service of the Supreme Lord. That is the power of pure devotional service. To a degree that the Supreme Lord gets so much controlled by the devotees that when Advaita Acharya just took little Ganga water with Tulsi and was offering to Shaligram Shila, Lord was forced to appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita Acharya was forcing the Lord that, "My dear Lord, either you come and you save these people of Kali Yuga, otherwise I am Mahavishnu, I only know one thing, take my chakra, kill." But I cannot do this because in Kali Yuga, demons and sages are in one body. In previous yugas, they were separate bodies, so you couldn't kill the demons. But now in Kali Yuga, we all have both together. So either you appear or I take my chakra, because Kali Yuga, the way it is progressing, I cannot handle it. So he was intensely praying. And as a servant, because in Chaitanya Leela, he is servant of the Lord. Lord had to appear. Lord had to appear. Very specifically, Lord had to appear. So Rupa Goswami, in Nectar of Devotion, Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, he explains, how do you purchase the Supreme Lord? What is the value? What currency is used to purchase the Supreme Lord that Hanumanji could practically purchase Lord Ram? Sudama could purchase Krishna. All these great devotees, Pandavas could purchase Krishna. What to speak of residents of Vrindavan, the gopis, who were practically controlling Krishna. Okay, you want to eat butter? Dance. And Krishna has to dance. Can you just think? People really can't relate Krishna just for a handful of butter dancing on the street, and they can't relate he is the same person whose eighth expansion, millions of universes are coming out of the pore of his skin. And the person whose eighth expansion is releasing universes after universe, for a handful of butter, he's dancing on the street. This is the potency of pure devotional service. It controls Krishna, Shri Krishna Akarshane. But what is the price? The price is Lalyam Api Ekamulyam. Very intense desire. That greed, that yes, I want Krishna. And this price is paid by all these great devotees, which has purchased Lord to that level where the Lord is requesting Prahlad, please ask for a benediction. I request you, please ask something. And Prahlad is saying, no, I don't want anything. And Lord, after saving Prahlad, so many times when Hiranyakashipu is trying to kill him, Lord Narasimha is telling to Prahlad, please ask something. And Prahlad is saying, no, I don't want. He literally convinced him that you please ask something. Imagine this relationship with the Lord and devotee, where the Lord Master is saying, no, you please ask. And the servant is saying, I don't want. And the Master finally convinces, no, you please ask. And what Prahlad asks? Yadi dasasi me kaman, varam stvam varadarshava, kamanam hridaya samroham, bhavatastu vrinevaram. Okay, if you want to give me something, if yadi dasasi me kaman, if any desire you actually want to fulfill, varam stvam varadarshava, you are varada rishabha. Rishabha means best. Varada means the best of the giver of benediction. It's that person who can give best benediction. So if you really want to give me something, because you're constantly asking me, kamanam hridaya samroham bhavatastu vrinevanam. Please remove any trace of material desires from the core of my heart. You want to give me benediction? Give me this. Amazing. If this is the benediction you want to give me, remove any trace of material desires from the core of my heart. I should not have any material desire whatsoever. So that devotee who is praying to the Lord that, my dear Lord, you give me intelligence, you give me strength of mind so that I can always remember you. But don't worry about solving my problem. You don't even consider my desire. Even if by mistake I say, please solve my material problem seriously. No. But you take this desire very strongly, very seriously, that please give me strength of the mind that I can always think about you. That devotee attracts the Lord very much. Not just that, oh my Lord, this is a problem I have, this money issue, this health issue, family issue, some serious issue, really legally I'm stuffed up, please help me. Nah. So for pure devotees, it is a pure waste of a prayer. That's how they think. It's a pure waste of a prayer when we pray in front of the Lord to solve our material desires. Rather, our prayer should be, just give me strength to handle my, just to remember you always. And we see in Kunti Maharani, in Pandava's life, what all Pandavas went through is very famous. We all know that. That very famous verse is there. Given poison, Vishan Mahagne Purushata Darshana. Given poison, attempt to kill them, burn them alive, man eaters are chasing them, Draupadi is insulted publicly. Publicly, Draupadi is insulted. Oh, so much thing. Now, then the battle happens on and on and on till the end, they're only and only suffering. Forest, 13 years in the forest, it just didn't end. And what is Kunti praying? Once more, please, once more, the whole cycle can repeat once again. Oh, you want to insult my daughter-in-law publicly and insult my own family? Once more. You want to kill, you want people to attempt to kill us? Again. But you be there with us. This is actually very amazing. I was telling him before also many times that we can't even theoretically, casual approach also, we can't go in front of the deities and even repeat Kunti's prayer. That keep giving me problems, but be in my life, please. Because we will fear, what if it happens? What if it actually happens? What if Radhavallabh takes my prayer seriously? Okay, keep sending problems. Okay, no problem, health issue. I've just came out of cancer, 4th stage. Okay, please, once more. This is an issue, financial full crisis, once more. COVID, I lost so many family members, again. Can't even think like Kunti Devi. Even in theory. What if it happens? What if they take my request very seriously? But Kunti was actually very sincerely telling the Lord, let these calamities come again and again, because a devotee is not interested to solve their material problems. He's not interested. His interest is something else. And the interest is, you should be in my life. You should be in my life no matter what happens. And we see from Chaitanya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Haridas Thakur's example. What was the request made to Haridas Thakur by the Qazi? You just stop chanting Hare Krishna. You just don't chant Hare Krishna. He said, no, I will chant. He said, okay, we'll kill you. He said, okay, go ahead. Kill you how? Take you to 22 marketplaces and you'll be beaten to death. This is the punishment. Just by hearing that pastime, I was thinking, 2-3 slaps will convince me not to chant. If someone really gets upset. You know, devotees in Russia, especially in 80s, you know, the Salted Bread book is there. These devotees were just asked, sign this paper that you have been misled and brainwashed, and that's why you're practicing what you're practicing, and we'll let you go. Just sign this document. And these are the devotees who are 6 months old, practicing devotees. He said, we'll not do. We'll not sign. So then we'll punish you. What is the punishment? You see that metal door, that 8 feet, hundreds of kg thick jail metal door, we'll put your hand inside and close the door. He said, okay, do it. I will not sign. Just put ourselves in that situation. We will sign anywhere. We'll sign for everything. They put their hands inside the door and smash the door once, shouting, twice, third time, out of pain, that devotee fainted, collapsed. Next punishment. They threw 6 beer bottles on the floor, stripped him naked, no clothes, and forced him to sit on that. No sign. Now, imagine, and then what to speak of Haridas Thakur? Okay, you want to beat? Beat. When they started beating Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya could not tolerate. He sent his Sudarshan Chakra to kill these 2 soldiers who were beating Haridas Thakur. But Haridas Thakur was praying, my dear Lord, please don't be upset with them. Please don't be upset with them. And Sudarshan had to go back. The Lord, to protect Haridas Thakur, came as a covering on Haridas Thakur's body so that he is not in pain. To protect Haridas Thakur. And after so much beating, what is Haridas Thakur is praying to the Lord? Please pardon them. Please don't give them any painful result of beating me. And then he satisfies their desire also. And what he does? He basically goes in Samadhi and he says, okay, I'm declared dead. Throw me in Ganga. You go happily. That your job is done. Amazing. Amazing actually. You know, these personalities. There's a bhajan of Bhaktivinoda Thakur which is Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolo Re Sabhai. In that Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Jiva Krishna Dasa Ei Vishwas Aur Phir Dukh Nai. Just by understanding we are eternal servants of Krishna, and having firm faith in this one statement that I am servant of Krishna, Aur Phir Dukh Nai, then there is no more misery again. Materially things may happen, material things may be taken away, but internally very satisfied, very happy. And this is why Bhagavatam says, that wherever we are, in whatever situation we are, we must aim at serving Krishna. We must aim as becoming a great servant of Krishna. And that's why in previous verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada wrote, while explaining the previous verse, Akama sarva kamava moksha kama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena jajeta purusham param. That, okay, we understand, we are not in the stage of Haridas Thakur, we are not in the stage of Prahlad, we are not in the stage of great devotees. But wherever we are, in whatever condition, and whatever we want from the Supreme Lord, material desires, mukti, whatever, very intensely we can try and serve the Supreme Lord. Rest is Supreme Lord's headache, what He grants us. Vishwanath Chakri Thakur quotes a very nice verse from 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Satyam disati arthitam arthito ninam naivarthado yat punar arthito yatha swayam vidate bhajatam anichyatam ichhapidhanam nijapada pallavam. This is from 5th canto. He says, the Supreme Personality Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives. But he does not bestow benediction upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his lotus feet, even though, like this is our condition, Lord will give us shelter at his lotus feet, even though we, such a person, does not aspire for it. Even though we don't want, Lord will give that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is Supreme Personality's special mercy. And this is the reason we see in this pastime, just by Diti engaging in devotional service, just transformed, completely changed, heart transformed, completely changed. And we all have that great opportunity, of course. We see, you know, many times devotees, especially after many, many years of practice, they do say that, I don't feel happy. We don't feel very happy. But after many years of practice, also Krishna consciousness, and of course, being very dutiful, duty bound, they continue serving the Lord, they continue following the instructions of the Guru. But the happiness which Srila Prabhupada says, chant and be happy, this question remains in the mind, when this statement will come true in my life, chant and be happy, when I will actually be happy. And many great acharyas, many great devotees give a very single pointed reply to that, because our chanting is inattentive. Because our chanting is inattentive, we don't experience that happiness in devotional service. And inattention naturally includes offenses. Inattention will naturally include Vaishnava Aparad, Seva Aparad, generally, you know, all the offenses we commit while performing devotional service. Many times, you know, recently many great devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, on the Vyas Puja, I was hearing that when it came time to give instructions to all the disciples, I was trying to hear, you know, what specific instructions they give. And the most common instruction was not to go do big preaching, big book distribution and all. So chant attentively. Chant attentively. Amazing, actually. No big instructions, actually. So, because on the you know, Vishwanath Chakri Thakur quotes this point, why I'm bringing this chant attentively point, is, and why spiritual masters, one of the most precious instruction is to chant attentively, so that we can experience all these amazing results what these great personalities are experiencing. Vishwanath Chakri Thakur says that a disciple, when he accepts a spiritual master and his service, he is not very much interested or even worried about his perfection. A devotee, when he takes shelter of a guru, and an immature devotee, when he is trying to seek guidance of a guru, his only concern is what I will get out of this relationship. Will my guru take my sin? Will my guru, you know, take me back to Godhead? He is constantly worried about his or her own perfection. Vishwanath Chakri Thakur says, please do not have that attitude, that you are always worried, especially dealing with your guru, about your own perfection. He said, your only worry should be, am I following the instructions of guru or not? If that becomes our worry, not about our own perfection, then perfection will automatically follow. But if perfection becomes our worry, then again it has material traces to that relationship. Then to experience pure devotional service and the effects of pure devotional service will be far seen. It's going to be very, very difficult to achieve those great, great results which pure devotional service can offer. And it can be hard work. It can appear very difficult. Last night, we were with devotees, Mataji Prabhu have come from Adelaide, we were just discussing this point. That just to have a career for 20-30 years, how much hard work it takes. Hard work begins when you're 3 years old, now even 2 years old toddlers, as soon as they can understand, mothers are trying to train them with poems so that they can learn fast, they can be good students. And it begins. 3 years onwards, start writing, learning, remembering poems, colors, numbers, you know, and all the parents want perfection out of their children. And then it goes on and on till we will do our bachelor's, master's, and then some people can choose to do PhDs. So much endeavor goes so that next 25, 30 years can be very, very successful, can be very, very safe. Enough money comes, enough job opportunities are there. So much hard work is going in that. Just to maintain one relationship, whether it's husband-wife or with your parents or whichever relationship, especially with our spouses, so much hard work goes in there just to maintain that one relationship. You know, half of your desires you have to forget it. Then other half you have to compromise. And the other person also has to do the same. There is quite a bit of hard work goes in there. So hard work is there for everything. Then now for us to achieve eternal happiness, not just 25, 30 years of happiness, at least if similar hard work can be put, not more, but at least similar hard work, if we are prepared to do that similar hard work, amazing results can come. Amazing results can come. And we see, you know, these great devotees, by their example, they show us. Now, of course, we can't imitate Haridas Thakur, who was chanting 300,000 names every day. And Lord Chaitanya is requesting him, please don't chant 300,000 names every day. Please don't chant your whatever number of 170, 80 rounds you're doing every day. And he's saying, no, my heart is not purified yet. And he's lying. He's so old, he's lying on the floor and chanting. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, no, you don't chant. You don't have to chant. You're a perfected being. He said, no, I will chant. In a very classic example of recent history in ISKCON, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, when he was towards the very last stages of his life, His Holiness Radhanath Swami was there with His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. They both were together. Radhanath Maharaj was reading Krishna book to him on a regular basis every day. So one day, while Radhanath Maharaj was reading Krishna book, and just few days left in his departure, and Radhanath Maharaj was also serving him in that way, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj told Radhanath Maharaj that, okay, you please go now. He said, no, let me read for you. No, he said, no, you go now. He said, what happened, Maharaj? Everything okay? Why are you asking me to leave? He said, I have not finished my 16 rounds yet. So let me chant my 16 rounds. And Maharaj said, Radhanath Maharaj was surprised that in this condition where if he lifts a suitcase, his collarbone will break off. He's practically no leg, fully bedridden, completely bedridden, extreme pain. There are some times that out of pain he was crying. So much pain he was in. He says, no, I have given promise to my guru, I will chant 16 rounds minimum every day. So I have to keep my promise till the last breath. Amazing personalities, you know. amazing personalities. Actually, he doesn't have to do because he was already so much Krishna conscious. And he's hearing Krishna book, very incapacitated, lying on the bed, but no, I will keep my words to my guru. Because his interest was not just perfection, his interest was to fulfill the instructions of his guru. Guru said, you chant 16 rounds minimum every day. He was trying to do that. So these qualities can remove this contrast between Lord's desire to give himself and us just only dealing with him for material desires. A devotee can begin their devotional life having material desires in their heart when they come to the Lord. But if a devotee continues with that, it's a serious problem. It's a serious problem to heavily check upon. That I'm continuing my spiritual journey still having material desire. That should as soon as possible, should reduce or even come to zero if we want to experience pure devotional service. Like Srila Prabhupada says, even if you have a desire to eat a chocolate and all other desires are gone from your heart, still you will have to take birth again because you have one desire left to fulfill. So only 100% pure Krishna conscious person goes back home, back to Godhead. And that takes hard work. And we must be willing to do that, put that hard work. So I want to, this chapter will finish, I think, mostly tomorrow. So we want to pray to the Supreme Lord, Gaurinitya Radhavallabh, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Srila Prabhupada, that these words may not remain theory, some practical influence it may create in our lives. Hare Krishna, thank you. Any questions or comments or corrections in what we discussed? Yes, Mataji, just take the mic. Yes, Mataji. Is it on? Can I increase the volume maybe?
It's on. I think it's on. Prabhu, sometimes we see, like, as you were mentioning, so when we are struggling, when do
So I think Mike is not taking the sound because some issue is there. I'll repeat your question. So then, how do we, as practicing devotees, adapt the mood of Kunti Devi and these great devotees that in all situations, favorable, unfavorable, we look up towards the Supreme Lord and continue practicing devotional service? Is that a question? Yeah. How we see the mercy of the Lord in our lives? So, I'll speak from our level. We can't be like Kunti Maharani. It's very exalted position. Even to just go in front of the deities and try to imitate Kunti Maharani, people will shake. So, but what we can do is, that's where Vishnu Chakra Thakur's comment comes in very handy. That what we can do is that no matter what condition we are in, no matter how life is treating us, we very tightly hold on to the instructions of our spiritual masters. And that is to chant 16 rounds minimum and follow 4 regulative principles. So while doing that, what will happen in association of devotees, hearing Bhagavatam regularly, eating Krishna Prasad only, what will happen that we will naturally develop a taste what devotional service offers. And please remember, to the proportion we experience the happiness which bhakti offers, to that proportion only we will push harder to perfect in Krishna consciousness. So if we do not experience happiness of Krishna consciousness because of our devotional practice, our endeavor, our struggle or our hard work to attain more bhakti will not be there. If the happiness is very less, our hard work also will be less. So that's why it's very much recommended that we perform sadhana bhakti to best of our capacities, so that this same sadhana bhakti, which is divided into two, vedhi sadhana bhakti, which is with rules and regulations, can take us to the next stage of sadhana bhakti, which is raganuga sadhana bhakti. So vidhi means just follow the rules, but not mechanically, with consciousness attached to it. So when we follow the rules given by previous acharyas, the Supreme Lord himself in scriptures, that same sadhana bhakti, which is just by following rules we are trying to do with no taste at that moment, will grant us natural attachment, raga. Raga means natural attachment for Krishna. And I'm telling you, as soon as that natural attachment towards Krishna will take shape in our heart, we will automatically crave for the next stage. And the next stage is Bhava Bhakti. That to develop genuine emotions for the Supreme Lord. And as soon as Bhava Bhakti starts to take shape in our lives, in our heart, we will automatically crave for next stage, which is Prema Bhakti. Now, why we are stuck, where we are stuck at, is because when it comes to Vedhi Sadhana Bhakti, following, doing Bhakti with rules and regulations, we slacken there. So then the next stage of raga, natural attachment to Krishna, doesn't take place. And that's why we can't see Krishna's mercy. We can't even think like pure devotees. In general, I'm talking about myself, you know, just to even think what must be in their head when they worship the Supreme Lord. We can't even think the way they are approaching the Supreme Lord. Because our whole approach to practice Krishna consciousness sometimes can be just a religious or a spiritual itch which we had, which we want to remove. I'm speaking for myself specifically here. We had some spiritual or religious desires and we became devotees, we took initiation, we are practicing now bhakti. But if we want to go beyond it, we must put Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti to its best. We must practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti to best of our capacities. And all this will automatically follow. Why? Because it's designed in such a way that the next stage follows. Natural attachment for Krishna will naturally follow. And I'm telling you, the time natural attraction for Krishna comes, you will constantly have this attitude that, my dear Lord, I just want you and no material desire. Even though we have material desire, but the constant prayer in the heart of a devotee comes out. I have so many material desires. Please remove. Please remove. Please remove. So that's why Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur's comment is very important. Don't worry about perfection at this stage or ever. Just focus on fulfilling the desires of a spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada's example is such a classic example. Age of 70, not even interested in going to back to Godhead. All these questions are not even bothering him. Only one thing is bothering him. I want to fulfill my Guru's desire. I want to fulfill my Guru's desire. Go to the West, go to the West, go to the West. Why? Because he knows rest, everything will come in a platter. All perfections will be just granted, gifted to him. If he sticks to this one instruction very carefully, that fulfill the orders of a spiritual master. Is it okay? Anything else? Yes. Yes. So, Sivya's question is, the verse is saying we should try to become, the goal of our life is to become servant of the Lord, but other places we hear that we should become lower than the grass. So, how to actually become a servant of the Lord when we are as minute as just a lower, as a blade of a grass? Is that what you say? So, a servant is supposed to be in that consciousness that I am useless. It is the greatness of my master that he is still engaging me in his service. And all the devotees throughout we see are having this attitude where they are thanking the Lord that, oh, thank you for engaging me. Prahlad is not thinking how great I am, that I am son of Hiranyakashipu, who is the most powerful king, and how fortunate is Narasimha Dev that I am worshipping him. Every single devotee thinks I am the lowest of the beings, but Lord is very kind that he has accepted my service. All the devotees. You just name it. Practically all devotees. What is Brahmaji's prayers? When he's offering his prayers to Krishna after Brahma Vimohan Leela, he said, I am not even qualified to be in Vrindavan. Just make me a grass outside Vrindavan where all your devotees can just walk over me. And who is Brahma? Creator of what? Whole universe. At least even the secondary creator, but the whole creation happens because of Brahmaji. So throughout we see all devotees will see them as very low. And then only they can do service. In spiritual circles, to be a servant is an honor. In material circles, it's a curse. And that's why, you know, many new people are coming for our Saturday programs. And when they hear, oh, Hanuman is servant of Ram, because they're attached to Hanuman, not Ram, they get offended. Literally, person told me, why are you saying Hanuman is servant of Ram? He is also Lord. Because they have no understanding of who Ram is and the relationship of Hanuman and Ram. Even if they read Hanuman Chalisa, in there only it says, Sada Raho Raghupati Ke Dasa. You are servant of, you always remain servant of Ram, Raghupati. But no. Very artificial, very superficial understanding. And then we say, Lord Shiva, Brahma, all these devatas are servant of Lord Krishna. Very offended. But in spiritual circles, if you are actually in spiritual consciousness, it's a great honor. Lord Shiva will dance if he is publicly declared that he is servant of Krishna. Hanumanji only identifies himself as servant of Krishna. So for a servant to remain servant, they must be very humble. Like a blade of grass. Otherwise, they cannot be a servant. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. I'll repeat you, sir. Even in hell, yes. So that is, if material happiness is the aim, even hell can also sometimes give you material happiness. So basically that is putting material happiness on a very lowest pedestal. That even, why you're after material happiness, even hell can give that sometimes, you know. So I also thought about that, why hell is specifically given. Then I was just trying to see what this particular statement means. So then this is the understanding. Even then, even hell can sometimes grant us some experience of happiness. Why are we just after material happiness? Anything else? Yes, Mataji. Mic is coming. 1 second. Because people who are hearing online, they hear the question also. That's why. Okay, you say, I'll repeat.
Hare Krishna. There's always this discussion that we always should be as humble as a blade of grass.
Mm-hmm.
In the same fashion, we do have this thought that, thank you, Krishna, for giving me this service. I am making garlands. I'm helping serve the devotees. I'm doing this. I'm that. So there's always that I, even if it's subconscious, there's that devotional pride that comes subconsciously. So how do we recognize that it's not, we are not saying it out of humbleness, because every time, a lot of times I would say, speak for myself, say, oh, thank you. It's all mercy of Guru and Gauranga. But at the back of the mind, I'm getting that pleasure that, yes, there is this, I'm doing this. So how do we control that? A, recognize and then control that.
Yes. Very important question. It is, in material consciousness, to be in the center of any activity is natural. In spiritual consciousness, to bring Krishna in the center of activity is necessary. Otherwise, it's not spiritual consciousness. It appears to be spiritual, but it's not. So, and that's why it is said that what we are doing right now is like bhakti, but it is not bhakti. It appears to be bhakti, because bhakti, you know, Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Soshati Na Kangshati. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labhate param. Who begins bhakti or who attains bhakti? Who is Brahma Bhuta? Completely situated on transcendental level, where he understands or she understands, I am spirit and nothing beyond it. No body, no mind, no designations, no consideration of any relations around. Sama sarveshu bhuteshu, equally disposed towards all living entities, then bhakti begins. So then what are we doing? Because we are not Brahma Bhuta. So we are doing something like bhakti, which has the potency to bring us to bhakti. That's why it's called Vaidhi Sadhana. Just follow the rules and regulation. Now, specifically to your question, if we actually honestly want to experience the effect of pure devotional service, then in our activity itself, Guru and Krishna's pleasure should predominate. So now if you are making garlands, for example, we'll take that example. And while making garland, if your whole purpose of making garland is that when it goes on the altar and people say, wow, what amazing garland, the purpose is defeated. But when your garland goes on the altar and people say, wow, how beautiful Radha Vallabh is looking, you're successful. So the question in the mind should also not even come that someone should go and inquire who made these garlands. People can do that, and people can come to you also that, oh Mataji, amazing garlands. But while making garlands, if that's what you are thinking, that some people should come and ask me, oh, who made this garland? You made amazing, amazing. So we have basically contaminated our service just by that thought process. It's exactly like you're cooking something for the Lord, and while cooking, a desire comes, oh, when Krishna eats, I'll also eat. Because we are following some rules that first Krishna should eat, otherwise we will taste before only, can't control. So we have already contaminated the offering, because the whole mood while cooking is, I anyways love pizza. These rolls are amazing. This is amazing. I really want to taste it. Wow. Rather, if actually want to taste, the mood should be, when Krishna eats, I'll taste and see how I can do it better next time for the pleasure of the Lord. You see, a little change. So in any activity, in any form or shape, if the pleasure of Guru and Krishna is the most important aspect, or is the only aspect, then pure devotional service can be experienced. So, you know, last time I was giving example of Malati Mataji, who was struggling very hard in Mayapur, trying to serve Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was finding, this is wrong, that is wrong, this is the mistake, you're not cooking properly. So she did not become despondent that every day people are just complaining about my service, so it's better I stop serving. No, her thought was very specific. Maybe I'm not the best to serve Srila Prabhupada. Maybe someone else should do. So it's not her position she's worried about. It's not her criticism she's worried about. Her thought was very, very single focused. What is best for Prabhupada? So what happened? When Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers came and Prabhupada asked her to come in front of her godbrothers, and Prabhupada told the godbrothers, she cooks for me, so cook this for me today. And she goes and she cooks. And she has decided that today I'll tell Prabhupada, from now on I better don't cook for you because I'm not able to make you happy, someone else should cook. What Prabhupada says, oh, when she brings prasad for Prabhupada, she says, Prabhupada tells his sannyasi godbrothers, this is Malati. I constantly find fault with her, but she's trying so hard to serve me. For my pleasure, she can slit her throat, and I can do the same for her. Prabhupada could sense that for her, the most important thing is my pleasure, not the salt, the ingredients, the recipe. So if that can be imbibed, amazing. And these are the examples we look up to. And we see all these great personalities, even in scriptures or wherever, they're least bothered, least interested in what they get out of this service. But materially, what's in for me is the mantra. Then only they do something to their loved ones, to their spouses. What will I get out of it? And if you see, you know, marriage is such a sacred relationship. The whole calculation before a marriage is this only. Husband calculates what I get out of it. Wife and family calculates what we get out of it. And if the calculation is not to our levels, reject it. Isn't it? And that's materially the calculation. But spiritually, it has to be completely opposite. What will this give pleasure to Guru and Krishna or no? And this constant desire or this constant meditation is that's what going to bring us to pure devotional service. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Granthrat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Nitai Gaur Premanande.